welcome to another episode of the PE Geek Podcast. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here. And I'm joined today all the way from Vietnam by Alison Leithwood. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Jared. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, you've just told me that it's like a professional development day at your school. What's the school? How long have you been there? And why aren't you in the PD day right now?
Great questions. I work at Saigon South International School in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. This is my fourth year, and it's my very first international teaching post. Mm-hmm. And we're doing a professional development day on project-based learning.
Perfect.
And it was great, and I did have to step out just to do this, but I felt that it was an important opportunity to me. We get very little time during the day to be able to, during the work day, and you're always being called away. So I thought I'd take this opportunity. My colleague is there. He's going to make sure that I'm caught up and on board once I get back into the sessions.
It's good to know that you're being a good, diligent student with getting someone else to tell you what you miss while that you're here. But no, I really appreciate it. So you mentioned Ho Chi Minh City, and you know, I've actually been and visited your school. But how did that all come about? Like, you weren't born in Vietnam. Like, where did you grow up, and how did you end up in Vietnam?
I'm from Canada, so I'm from a very small community in British Columbia called Caslow, where there's only 1,000 people.
Massive.
That live there. Massive. I know. It's a thriving metropolis, but very beautiful. Very fortunate that I grew up in a small community, because it definitely gave me certain values. Mm-hmm. And I'd always had a dream to be a phys ed teacher. I always knew that's what I wanted to do. My father was a physical education teacher, and he really inspired me and motivated me to pursue the same career. He loved his job. He talked so highly of it. And it just really created this want for me to have the same type of life, and I really loved being active. So I went to the University of Calgary, went right in, got my teaching degree, and I'd always had this desire to go overseas and to teach because I loved traveling.
Yeah.
And I got a great job, an amazing job in Calgary that I couldn't refuse, and I ended up working at a great school there for 7 years, and finally I got the guts, I would say, to start to pursue this dream. There was nothing wrong with my job back home. I really did love it. I was teaching sports medicine and physical education in high school to grade 10, 11, and 12th graders. But I really was still in the back of my mind this desire to go overseas. Mm-hmm. And my father actually did. He had never wanted to do it. This was never his dream. It was always my dream. But he decided to retire in Canada from long time being an educator, and he went overseas. He got a headmaster position in Turkey, and that really motivated me that I needed, because I'm a little competitive, I also needed to pursue said dream. So I went out and I went online through Search Associates and got recruited and asked to apply for a job in Vietnam. And I had never been to Asia. It was not on my radar, not something I ever was thinking I would consider. But when I talked with that headmaster, Mark Silty, and the way he made the school sound, and when I started to learn more about Vietnam and the school and the community and the opportunities I could have, it really just became a decision as to why not. And I committed and came over here, and it has been professionally and personally the best decision I have ever made.
Well, I mean, you can't complain, because I've seen a few of your photos floating around. I mean, you get to go on some pretty cool trips with the students. I think recently you were you up north in Vietnam, or did you go into country?
I was up north. Yeah. So we have a program called We Without Walls, and it's a program at the school that starts within our fifth grade and goes all the way through to our 10th grade, where we take the students on experiences that take them out of the classroom. And we leave Ho Chi Minh City and we go somewhere. Now, our middle school and fifth graders, they go very close, sort of within the region. They don't travel too far away. But with our ninth and 10th graders, it's usually been common practice that we will fly somewhere, and usually out of country.
Yeah.
So in my previous years, we went to Indonesia, and we went to a resort on an island called Bintan Island. Mm-hmm. But then we decided with our ninth grade program, we really wanted to look more about dedicated service, because that's one of our core values here, and how we could help out, you know, local people within Vietnam. So we found a great company called ETR, who does trips and programs where you can go into communities and you can try and make a difference.
Cool thing about it is that, you know, it's sort of this whole real world thing mixed into education, and and you get the benefit being an educator to see some of these things as well. And I mean, that's quite common for international schools to have these sort of programs that, you know, work in the real countries and the real places and have a real impact. Do you see commonly that people get over into these international schools and then they don't ever leave them because of these sort of opportunities to, you know, do a bit more?
I would say definitely. Yeah. That was something that was communicated to me as I came in with a group of teachers. I think there was 23 of us of new teachers, which is quite common in international schools. There is a lot of turnover. And that's, I'm not saying that as a bad thing that people are leaving schools because they don't want to be there.
They go to
people
other international schools.
Exactly. They're going to other international schools. They're getting other experiences for their families or for themselves. But when I came in and I met the core group of teachers that I would be working with, there were some of us that were brand new to international teaching, and those that were, we would call maybe veterans, that this was their third or fourth posting, basically just told us flat out, you're never going home, which you feel a little bit like, what? You don't know me. Like, I will do what I want to do. And I had always thought this would be maybe a two-year, three-year maximum gig, and then I probably would go back to Canada. And now that I have been in this experience, I could see it would be very difficult to transition back into working in Canada. And that is because of experiences like Week Without Walls. It's also because of experiences that you just, when you work in an international school and there is a bit more of money involved or a pool of money, the stuff that you're able to do, having, I mean, we're going to talk a lot about technology, and that was something that I never even really considered or looked at putting into my practice, at least in the phys ed world. In sports medicine, I was using a bit more tech. But when we look at PE, that was not something that was done. I worked in a program that was very rigid in how it was delivered because it had been the same for 30 years. And when I came here and you realize there's so much diversity, there's so many different ways that you can teach. You know, we don't teach volleyball just as volleyball anymore. I didn't know about teaching games for understanding. Like, it opens you up to a whole different world. And because you've got a bit of money to back it up, you're able to get resources. You're able to have an Apple TV or get a laptop cart. And I just know that for me personally, and I think a lot of teachers have the same experience, you really blossom in this environment, and you're allowed to change your curriculum and do whatever you think is best for your students and your community. And we use the standards out of the States, but we also have recognized that the Ontario curriculum in terms of health has an amazing new curriculum, and we're able to phase that in as well. So we can mix and match and take components from the best curriculums in the world and bring them here and deliver it to our student body. And I think that's something that when you're at home, you're way more stuck to, these are our standards, province or statewide, this is what you're supposed to do. And you can't have as much flexibility.
Breeds that rigidity. Are you working for Search Associates right now? Because I think you've made a pretty good case for them. Yeah, for international school teaching. And you know, it's a common thing that I hear. A lot of people that I've worked with, the same story, and they get overseas and it's, you know, they find it difficult to look at how they can ever go back to their home countries, and it's because of the opportunities and the fact that they can teach and have, you know, an impact. And I think that's really cool. So somewhere along that line and that journey from Canada to Vietnam, you've picked up the use of technology in your practice in phys ed. Do you know how that came about, or what was sort of the seed that sparked it?
Well, it was you, Jared, obviously.
The workshop. That must have been about 2014 now, I guess.
It was in my first year here. Okay. I think you came in January of my first year. But definitely where it really, I mean, that was big for me to have a workshop dedicated specifically to improving my practice with technology and just learning more about applications.
Sure.
But when I came to Vietnam and I met my partner teacher, Chris Sylvester, he's also been a huge, he's really pushed me because he had been international. This was his third posting, but 11 years previous working in an international community where he worked in phys ed departments where he was the only one. And he really had to, you know, collaborate a lot with himself and how mm-hmm. he can change and really make things still engaging for his kids. And he had been exposed to tech and he'd been exposed. He knew, like, I had no idea who you were when I first came here to Vietnam. And then sort of Chris started to share with me who gurus were and what else was sort of out there. He made me get a Twitter account. Like, he really kind of pushed me to start to look into this tech. And then really from there, that's when it all started to get to happen. And one of the first things we did together is we wrote a proposal to our school to be given iPads.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the middle school and high school teachers. And it seems something that is simple, but it's really helped. It's been a huge revolution for me just to actually have something in my hands where I can film the kids or show them something or just be able to take my attendance. Like, everything is digital here. You have to do everything digitally. And as a PE teacher, bringing a laptop into a gym, that's just not feasible. Like, you need something that's easier that you can handle. And so that was kind of the first thing we got were the iPads, and then that really allowed us to start to be a little bit more open.
Awesome. I find
to what we could
I
do.
I definitely find that's how it begins too. Like, you know, a lot of the time we see things that make someone's job more easy, and that might be attendance and so on, and they start in that ball game and get familiar, and then all of a sudden later on you're doing stuff with drones. And I mean, I've used your example on Twitter like throughout our workshop since I saw it, because I think it's a, you know, a tremendous way of showing and celebrating the stuff that's happening at your school. Do you mind sharing what you did with drones? Because I mean, I think some people might hear drones and think that, you know, how could that ever have any sort of play in a PE space? What did you guys do?
Well, so the situation you're talking about with drones, that was actually it wasn't a physical education.
Sure, yeah.
Component, but it was definitely a starting point. And after we did that activity, Chris and I brought drones into our PE class. But mm-hmm. what we did, another initiative that Chris and I have spearheaded here, is we created a house leagues program within our high school. And so our students, very like Harry Potter-esque, we have four houses. We are dragons here. So we have four different dragons, and our kids compete in all different types of competitions through the year. They earn points. It's become a huge community, just a community building, mm-hmm. and it's been really, really valuable for our school. So in our second year of this program, we decided that we wanted the kids to come together and collaborate and come up with a image that would represent their house.
Awesome.
And we worked with our tech, one of our media developers, who they have a drone. We don't have one in PE yet. We're working on that. But we had them come in, and they took images of from above, aerial shots of our students in their house representation, whatever it may be. And then we've made these poster boards, and they're on the wall. And as teams are in the lead, we move them depending on where they're ranked on the stairwell in our high school building. So from there, then Chris and I decided we wanted to try and use it in PE, because we've definitely through Twitter noticed other groups that had been using it or other PE teachers. Mm-hmm. And so Chris did a rugby unit. I was doing a invasion games unit, and we used the drone to take footage that we then put into a Google form, and students were able to log in to this form as we shared it with them, watch the aerial footage of themselves, and be able to answer certain questions on their understanding about the tactics and the participation that they were given.
Epic.
And I will say it was a good intention, but we had, because we weren't running the drone, we ended up with situations where it was too high, mm-hmm. and the children looked like tiny little ants. So
yeah. We always learn. Everything's the learning
part,
isn't it? Like,
and
I think even just the fact that you tell that story, you know, initially the tech started, you know, as a way of making things efficient and effective for you, and you got some value there. And then that the drone example in the beginning was like how you can celebrate learning and create community, and then it flows into a different area again. So I tend to see that, you know, what you might start out with as the idea eventually rolls into something completely different and everything compounds and you learn stuff from one situation and you apply it to the next. And if you look at all of the stuff that you've been doing with like tech and so on, I feel like it's merging towards what you guys are doing now with your students and their homework. What's that program that you're currently having them involved in?
So this is our fourth year. So yeah. In our third year, Chris and I decided we wanted to come up with a way. I mean, as a physical educator, your biggest goal should be to build healthy habits with your kids. You want to inspire them to find some form of physical activity they're going to get excited about, they're going to love, they're going to engage in it, they're going to do it for life. We all know that that should be our purpose as a PE teacher. And we looked at that and thought, how could we're obviously trying to do that as much as we can in class, but how can we really get the kids to actually do it at home? Mm-hmm. And I think working in international schools, in cultures, especially in Asia, where being physically active isn't a priority, academics are the number one priority. Mm-hmm. There's even cultural situations where it is not appropriate for you to have muscle. Like if you have muscle tone, that can be looked at as being ugly. So how can we change these sort of cultural norms? How can we get kids to still see the value in it, even though they've been kind of told that it's not valuable, or that they're supposed to just be going to their academies and they're supposed to just be looking at academics? So we decided to tie those two together. And we have created essentially what is PE homework. Mm-hmm. However, we've been mindful and thoughtful about how we've done that. So our campaign is called Energize Your Life. And we created that name out of last year we used Passport for Life out of Canada, a program where students do questionnaires to look at their active participation and their engagement in their community, what they do like about phys ed. It has nutrition questions, just these really great questionnaires that have been developed. And then on top of that, you do some fitness monitoring, but things like throwing and catching, balancing. You do some agility stuff, but it's not your basic. You just do push-ups and sit-ups and you run the beep test.
Yeah.
And so a little bit more actual fundamental movement skills and physical literacy type based.
Yep.
And then from that information, the kids received a passport. And from that, we did goal setting and we had the kids look at areas that they wanted to improve on. We did a lot of reflection around it. And then we created a digital journal for the students. Perfect. And we use Google. We have the Google platform. We use that a lot here. And we have a program called Hapara, mm-hmm. which is a very easy way to share documents with your students. So all of my students have a PE folder that I have access to, so I can open it up and I can share documents with the kids, and through the Hapara database I can just go in and I can look instantly at what my kids are doing and how they're updating it. So every week our students are required to do two physical activity based activities outside of class time. That's the really important key, and it needs to be at a minimum for 20 minutes. So the things that the kids can do, they can come in at our lunchtime is open. They can play basketball. A lot of our kids play ping pong after school. We have a fitness center. They can go into the fitness center. Any kid that's playing on a sports team right now, we've got swimmers, we've got badminton players, and we have volleyball players. They're getting their physical activity, and they have to log it in this journal. They mm-hmm. have to provide evidence through either a video, through a contact information for a personal trainer or a coach. They have to put a photo. Most of them use photos. And then they link it back to the goal that they are trying to improve by doing this physical activity. And it's been fantastic. Last year, like I said, was our first year. And I had many kids who decided to start doing a martial arts, like Aikido or Muay Thai, kids mm-hmm. that took up dance lessons, that were doing yoga. And through our fitness unit, we also use a lot of tech and a lot of apps. Like yoga studios, Swerkit, workout trainer. And when I showed kids those types of apps, they downloaded them on their phones, and that was things they were starting to do for Energize Your Life.
That's awesome.
So we always try and make connections with what we do in our class to what you can do. We had an instructor that came in recently and did mindfulness, and she did mindfulness and yoga with the students, and she has a studio, and we keep sharing with kids anytime that she's got a program that she's offering and promoting it as ways to energize your life. And it's actually become you know, it's become a term. Like when I see kids in the community, when I'm out running and I pass them, we say like, oh, you're energizing.
Yeah.
Or I see kids out and they're playing ping pong and, oh, hey, Miss Leithwood, I'm energizing. Like it's just become this culture.
It's awesome.
And I think we're going to continue to build it. This year we added a new initiative where we said, what's in your community? And the kids had to go out first before we started the Energize Your Life. They had to actually look at around their community. Do they have a swimming pool in their building? Do they have a fitness center? Is there a park close by that they could play in? Is there a gym where, how much would it actually cost to get a membership? Are there a rock climbing wall or whatever they would be interested in? They had to actually go and find it. They had to look at their schedule. When would they utilize it? How much does it cost? And they just gathered information for themselves about where they could be active.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you're actually empowering them to make these same decisions when they leave school. And the use of the tech is a way to actually create some evidence around the stuff that they're doing and some accountability. But then some of those tools that you've mentioned are like, I think they're tremendous because, you know, the whole like yoga studio, for example, they can do that in their lounge room. You know, there's like reducing barriers, and I think that's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like that's just going to go from strength to strength each year.
Yeah, I hope so. And actually, through this project-based learning workshop that we are doing, that's what we, Chris and I, were starting to talk about, is how can we make this look a little bit more like a project-based learning activity that's a two-year program. Because in 11th grade, our students, phys ed, I think most people find this, and 11 and 12, it's an option. It's something that they can choose, and you're losing the majority of your children.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's something that we are still trying to promote and do with our 11th and 12th graders, but we need to lay the foundation with our 9th and 10th graders. That's where we really need to get them to buy into this and buy into this program and expose them to applications. They're on their devices all the time. How can we get them to use them in a way where they can be physically active? And we, you know, websites like Fitness Blender as well, using YouTube. We use YouTube a ton with different videos and different experiences. And as much as we can, we just want to give them the most access to the all different types of things to try and find something that they want to do.
Yeah.
Another thing we love to use is in our dance unit mainly, but my kids have also taken it and they're using it a lot and they're energized their life, is Just Dance now.
How much
which
fun.
You know, it's like exactly so much fun and a video game. And you know, on our iPad I have downloaded the app and I have the VIP access. Our kids bring their cell phones into the gym and we start it as a warm-up always in our dance unit, and you have the ability to do individual all the way up to quadruple dances where you can get kids in lines of four and they have to dance together, and it's awesome and it's great and the kids really get engaged, and then they start doing it at home and they're taking screenshots of their leaderboard and where they're at, and they're doing it in groups, and it's, you know, just a way to get them all together. And yeah, it's a great app. Obviously, internet, though, we have a lot of internet issues. So, I mean, tech is always great, but we do have a lot of, you know, dropped internet and issues with our Apple TV and our gym.
Yeah,
but that's something you learn to roll with.
You have to learn to roll with those things. But, you know, I love the premise of what that delivers, and using technology as a way to lay the foundations, but also capture and, you know, instill some autonomy into what the students do in their personal life, I think is a stellar example. So beyond this, what's next? Is there anything sort of in the pipeline? I know that you've got a session coming up at the APEC conference shortly. That's not about tech, but I mean, is there some way that's got technology involved in it too?
So I'm doing a presentation on dance, something that I absolutely just love, and I'm not a dancer. Most PE teachers can say they aren't dancers.
That's
and I know
me.
Dance is one of those, one of those topics that people are either terrified of or they just go for it. And I was lucky that I worked in Canada, that I was working with teachers that did a lot of social dance. And I know that there's a lot of talk with, is social dance still appropriate and should we do it? And myself and Chris have made a really amazing dance program we feel here that is a lot of just being playful at first and playing things like dance tag. The Just Dance now is a big thing that we bring in where we do use the tech. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be showing a lot of some of that stuff and also how you can use QR codes in you know, in dance, especially in things like social dance, to bring in professionals, how you can do that. Like, I'll just be sharing out basically my units and playing lots of different games. But mainly the big tech component to that will be looking at, yeah, just dance now, and then more about game-based stuff, and then more about online. These are the resources that you can use. As we do, teaching games for teaching dance for understanding really helped me a lot with this unit. And they have dances that have already been developed that you can learn, teach your kids, and we have our kids learn these dances, and then they go and they teach elementary students these dances. And we've attempted, they haven't been mainly successful, but flash mobs at the end of kind of every year.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be creating my own dance, which will again be online, that teachers can access, that they can go out and teach to their students. And my challenge to them will be, teach this dance to your students, take a video of it, tweet it, tag me in it, tag our school in it, and let's see how many different places we can get all doing this dance together.
The ripple spread out. Yeah, awesome. So, I mean, I love that teaching dance for understanding philosophy. We have a session in Connected PE from Melanie, and we have Tracy Lockwood, who's also, she's from Canada. She's coming to Connected PE next month to run a session on teaching dance for understanding as well. So I think that that philosophy makes a ton of sense for PE teachers that, you know, are like me, typically, like, I don't even know where to begin. And I think that's a nice on-ramp for success.
Absolutely. And I think, and those ladies, I really want to do their sessions. Like, I would love to take their programs, but living in Vietnam has made it a little bit difficult for me to be able to attend their professional development. But I'm looking to see at ways that I could, because they've been a huge influence for me at looking at dance in a completely different way, and adding in a lot more of the fun component and how you can get kids to not feel so self-conscious, and how you can really create that positive environment within your dance unit. And it's amazing. We love our dance unit. We have our kids, we have this one social dance per year that we really focus on, and our 9th and 10th graders are together. So last year we did jive, the year before that was salsa. We have the kids learn a bunch of the basic steps, and then they use the iPads. We have an app called iDance, which is really great, that has lots of basic steps in it that for individual footwork. Then we have QR codes, and the kids, again, through their iPads, they scan and they have to teach themselves new moves and come up with another original move. And they use the professionals, I would say, to help them. And then they create a dance routine, and we have this massive dance-off. A huge competition. They've got numbers on them, and they have a dance-off. We get winners from every block, and then on the very last day of school, we have a dance competition in front of our entire high school. All the top winners from our block. And then this past year, we actually had the kids vote live for our top two. So we used a Google form, and the form became live right before the dance was finished. The kids were able to pull out their cell phones, scan the QR code, or put in the website, and then they were able to judge and actually pick the winner of our 2017 Jive competition. So it was pretty sweet.
It's so epic. Yeah, I mean, there's so many incredible things that you guys are doing as a team and individually, and I like that tech is part of it, but it's sort of the underlying current that makes all of the real things happen even more effectively. It's not about the technology, but it's there, and it's sort of assisting you and the students in bringing about some, you know, incredible results. So well done. Thank you for stopping by and sharing it. And best of luck on the upcoming session at APEC.
Thank you, and best of luck at Connected PE. I have to try and get myself over to that conference as well.
Yes, so many conferences and so little time, eh?
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you again, and I look forward to speaking soon.
All right, thanks, Jared.
See ya.